Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing.
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
I'm not saying I'm gonna change the world. I do guarantee that I will spark a brain that will change the world. Welcome to the Mookie Mel Show.
Truly, Mookie Mel. Have another phenomenal episode lined up for y'all. Today's topic will be power, and we're going to discuss the many assets and intricate layers that power plays in our everyday lives in society. We're going to hit the three S's: social, scholars, and sports, per usual. And I do want to let you all know that this is the season finale of the Mookie Mel Show, season one. Season two will be airing next week. Season 2 also will be brought to you Friday at 5. 5 at Friday. Friday at 5. Yeah, at 5 is the new show timing. So everybody look out for episode 1 of season 2 coming soon. But in the meantime, we also have some Mookie Mel gear coming out soon. We're going to have a promotion, as I previously mentioned. The promotion will be explained a bit more in episode 1 in the intro. What else do I have for y'all for updates? That's it. Let's jump into this power topic. I'm brought to you by one of my great friends, Jennifer. She's one of my newly acquainted friends out here in San Antonio. She is a phenomenal individual. I think she's going to have some excellent insight in terms of power. But I'm going to read some real quick in terms of power. We'll introduce Jennifer and we'll jump right into the episode. Power is a natural element which all animals thrive on and function within a system based upon. Survival of the fittest, or Darwinism, is a system based on prey and predator, or the power structure. Let us further discuss some of the roles that power plays in our modern day lives. Jennifer. Jen. Go and tell the people about yourself.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
I'm Jennifer. So like Miles said, we're newly acquainted friends, fairly new. It's been 6 months now, which is pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. And we met at work, which is typically where you meet friends. Mm-hmm. And very thankful that I met Miles. He's a pretty crazy, great person, if you haven't already known that. So we kind of met at a stage in our life where we're kind of figuring what we're doing for the rest of our lives. And we met starting after graduation. I think you graduated this year too.
Yep, last May.
So I also graduated this year with my master's in communication, which I'm pretty proud of.
Hey, clap four.
Yes, and I moved here from the very tip of Texas, which is the Valley. I'm really happy to be here now. It's a big step in my life, and that's pretty much it for now.
Nice, cool. Well, thank you, Jen, for joining us on the show. Let's jump right into it, y'all, with S1 and Scholars in Power. So, Jen, you said you have your master's.
I do.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's pretty cool. How old are you?
I'm 23 years old, even though I sound 12.
That's awesome. That's awesome. With a master's. Good for you. So, Jen, what kind of led you or made you want to get your master's?
I, first of all, am very competitive, and my mom has her master's, so I needed to be at her level and just get it done. So that's why I got it done so fast. I think that education is one of the most important things in life, And I just wanted to continue my education, keep it going. I learned so much and I don't regret getting my master's at all.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. So where were you though, or what was the moment you understood the power of having a master's degree? Or are you still kind of figuring it out? I mean, you're super young, like 23 with a master's is incredible in itself. Do you realize the power of that, or tell me when it happened for you?
I don't think that I've realized it yet completely. There was one time where I was meeting with someone important, and I can't even tell you where it was or who it was, but I knew what they were talking about because I've learned it in my graduate courses, and then I just realized that it was powerful for me. And now that I think of it, I can't remember who it was or what we were talking about, but that was a really powerful moment in my life. However, I don't realize how powerful it is, because when I tell people now, they look at me kind of funny, like,
yeah.
You have your master's and what are you going to do with it? And I say, I don't know what I'm going to do with it.
Yeah,
so yeah. Hopefully I figure that out soon. But like you said, I'm only 23, so we'll see where it takes us.
No, that's awesome that you had the foresight, though, to pursue that degree of higher education in itself. You know, finishing any type of schooling in itself is a feat and a milestone in itself. But, you know, to go at the level you're at and the age you're at, I commend you myself. I look up to you myself. I'm like, dang, she did that. So, Jen, you were telling me you teach, or what's up?
I do. So when I was getting my master's, fortunately, I was in this program that allowed you to teach after you get 18 credit hours. So you had your own class, your own course. And it was intro level undergraduate courses, but it was probably the most powerful moment of my life was getting up there and teaching students. And it was pretty funny as well, because they weren't expecting me to be the teacher. They were probably like, who's this little girl coming in here thinking that she can teach us stuff? And once you gain that respect, it's just incredibly powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear you on that. And for those of you who cannot visually see Jennifer, I'm looking at her. She's maybe 5'4".
I am 5 feet, actually.
Okay. And I saw her in heels today. Like, if that, you know, like, she's a tiny and powerful mighty mouse. But so you were teaching undergrad students?
I was teaching undergrad students.
What was the age range on that?
Oh, anywhere between 18 and my oldest. My oldest student was 84 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How old?
84.
Okay. So wait.
84.
What is the dynamics like then when you're told to be the instructor and you're teaching, you know, potentially a class of people who may be older than you? What is the power structure like in that environment?
So it went one of two ways. The first way would be negative. Older people sometimes try to push your buttons, see what they could get away with. More than younger people, I found. So they thought because they're older than me, they're able to get away with more stuff. They're able, because I'm supposed to respect my elders, basically. And that was always hard to deal with. However, on the other spectrum, the positive spectrum, they respected me just like I respected them. So there was a mutual respect. And then the discussions were just incredible. And I don't regret it at all, teaching older individuals, even though I had the few that just try to walk all over me.
Right, right. And I mean, I'm sure that was few and far in between, because although you may appear to be shy and quiet, you do have a mighty presence. I think you teaching older people, well, not necessarily older people, people of various age ranges is powerful in itself too, because one, they're willing to accept what education in a sense is power, or what you're, you know, they're displaying. Not dominance. What's the word I'm looking for? The opposite of dominance. They are being passive. Thank you. They're being passive to you and allowing you to dominate the time and the speaking area. And, you know, in some cases are willing to listen, not only regurgitate the information. And that's powerful. You know, that's powerful in itself. Were there ever moments other than the few adults, you know, that tried to be rude or use their age as power? Were there other moments in the class where there were power structure issues or moments you realized you might have lost power or you need to give the students more power?
Oh, definitely. The very first course that I taught, I had one student in particular that really just created a power struggle in every single class that we took. And it took a lot to understand why he was fighting to respect me, why it was an internal struggle with him while he was making such a scene in the classes and trying to overpower the lesson instead of really learn and understand the material and how it could better him in the future. He just kind of walked all over it. And funny enough, the other students in the class really stood up for me. So they actually helped me get that power. And eventually, you know, with work and just communication, which is what I was teaching and which is key to life, it became a good balance of he has a certain type of power and I have another type of power. And I'm not superior over him. However, I have a lot more to bring to the table at this point in our relationship of student and teacher. And he just had to respect that.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that interesting? You know, within a power structure, you can have a struggle for power. You know, obviously the teacher is meant to be in a position of power, but there could also be, I was that student that will, you know, fight for the attention, you know? You know, you could see it, and it's interesting, like, you know, in our conversation earlier, you know, that struggle for power we mentioned, that student potentially could have been having a loss of power in his personal life, and he felt the classroom is the only area he could dominate or display his power. So, Jennifer, to you, what does the quote, knowledge is power, mean?
Knowledge is power, to me, means that you get what you put into life, if that makes any sense. So if I'm going to put into life going to school, getting my education, that is powerful to me. However, some people may feel or get their knowledge from reading books or from watching Discovery Channel, like my dad. And some of those people are the most intelligent people that you could ever know. I mean, look at all the CEOs now that dropped out of college.
Right.
They're powerful in my eyes. So knowledge is power doesn't mean to me going to school and getting your degree. It means obtaining knowledge in whatever way works for you.
Ooh, I love it. I love it. I love it. You sound like me, girl. Who brought you on this show?
Oh, my goodness.
But okay, y'all, let's jump into S2 in sports. So, Jen, have you ever played sports?
I have, but disclaimer, my hand and eye coordination is that of skill level -2.
Okay. So what sports have you ever played?
I played basketball at one point in my life and volleyball, and I tried track.
I'm not even laughing at her, y'all, because, I know Jen in her adult life, and she's a runner to me, but it's just funny to me because she's playing all these tall people sports. I'm like, what do you mean volleyball? What do you mean basketball? I was like, do you have a growth spurt and it reversed?
I feel like I might have.
She's definitely a runner. She's definitely a runner. So, I actually supported Jen out here in one of the marathons she ran. But in track, what were your events?
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. I went to a week of practice and was like, whoa, this is not for me.
Fair enough.
Ran a mile in my first practice and passed out because I was a horrible runner. With that being said, if you're not good at something in one point of your life, that doesn't mean you'll always be bad at it, because now I've ran 2 half marathons and I'm about to run a full marathon, and I love it, and I actually feel the most power when I'm running.
Hey, okay. So what power do you feel is in perseverance then? Because, you know, you weren't that good of a runner initially, but then you persevered. So where is the power in that?
Well, I always think of passing out after 1 mile. Okay, 1 mile. And now I can run 13 without stopping. Hopefully 26. But I always think of that time and how belittled I felt because I couldn't do it. Or because I thought I couldn't do it. So now that I have that endurance and that perseverance, it's just extremely powerful to me that I've come so far from not being able to run 1 mile.
Yeah, that's powerful in itself. And, you know, we spoke earlier, there's power in consistency. So to be able to stay at something and, you know, to continue to learn from your failures or what may be your shortcomings is powerful in yourself in itself. But let's jump into S3, y'all, and social. So, Jennifer, in your description, what is your modern day understanding of power?
My modern day understanding of power is probably not a very popular description of power, but to me, power is a sense of feeling you get within yourself about your own accomplishments, about the way you treat other people. And I feel like society's version of power is if I'm better than this other person, if I have a better job than this other person, if I have a better car than this other person, if I live better than this other person, then I'm more powerful than they are. And to me, power is a feeling within yourself about your own self, not comparing yourself to other people.
I like that. I like that self-empowerment, especially as a minority. I think we both can, you know, directly correlate with self-empowerment, but I hear you, and I think that's awesome. I more or less agree with your personal description of power, but I also understand, you know, money, gender, occupation, like you were saying, you know, housing situations all play a factor in today's modern understanding of power. So on the opposite end of the spectrum, what would you say is the biggest misconception of modern day power?
Money. If you have money, then you are more powerful. And I don't feel like that is an accurate perception of power because I am broke and in debt from school, but I still have the power of education. And how is that different than someone who has money?
I like that. I like that. I definitely agree with that. I would say my personal modern day misconception of power would be the notion of being listened to, the notion of being able to hold someone's attention. That's something no matter how much money, how good looking you are, you know, no physical attribute can obtain someone's ear. And I think that's powerful in itself. You know, someone whom I will view as forever powerful is Malcolm X. And oftentimes it was dead silent whenever Malcolm X would speak. And I think that in itself, the essence of being able to capture someone's mind and them willing to open themselves as a vessel to what you're saying is powerful in itself.
I like that.
Thanks. You know, Mukhsophilus is what they call me. But let's keep it rolling. What would you say are some of your daily struggles that you face with dealing with power in your modern day life as a female?
So as a female in general, for whatever reason, we are essentially set back in power. You know, if something that I was thinking about was when I applied or when I had an interview for a career job, the thing they said was, we're now including more diversity, meaning we're hiring more women. And I thought to myself, so you're going to hire me over a man just because you want to include diversity? Not because I am better than them, not because I'm more educated, more qualified for the job, but that I am a woman only? Isn't that belittling me? Shouldn't I have the same level of competition as a man? And I could not process that. And I think that, you know, being a minority and also a woman, people try to take that power away from you because that's what they perceive of you. And I don't think that's fair.
Yes, yes. I definitely hear you on that. Although I'm not a female, that is a different perspective and aspect of a power struggle I will never be able to understand. But I do hear you from a minority standpoint. You know, as we discussed earlier, you know, you may catch certain eyes just for being a minority in a certain setting. And other power structures are ultimately the system is built against you. But that's a topic for another day. Let's continue running with this power. So, Jennifer, have you ever had any past relationships or experiences where you personally have felt the struggle for power?
Yes, 100%. So not too long ago, or last year, I was in a relationship and In my opinion, relationships should always have equal amount of power, so no one should ever belittle the other person. And this was a romantic relationship that I believed was going great. I felt that we both had the same amount of power. And then slowly little things started happening where I was getting my power taken away from me. So the first thing was money was starting to go missing from my purse. And first it was just like $1 or $2. And you know, you just kind of blow it off like, oh, maybe you needed it or whatever have you. And then $20 started missing. And then $30. And then my debit card got stolen. And it was a little bit confusing to me. I didn't really understand what was going on. I always grew up in that you should help people that need help. And that's how I was told they needed help. So it wasn't really affecting me too much. And then one day it really just kind of spiraled out of control. So on this day, I had this person's phone in front of me. And I wasn't looking through it or anything, but they received a text that wasn't exactly appropriate from another individual, and I questioned it. And it was incredible how one question can cause a whole rush of emotions. And this person tried to take away my power by being physical. And I remember at one point, this person was choking me. And obviously, this person was stronger than I am. And I just closed my eyes and thought to myself, like, is this it? Is this how I leave this world? Is this how it ends for me? And then I realized I've never seen Hawaii. That was the biggest moment in my life. I've never seen Hawaii. And I said, like hell, I'm gonna never see Hawaii. So I opened my eyes, I got all the power I could, and I kicked this person in the chest, which I don't condone violence at all. But in order to see Hawaii, I was gonna get out of this situation. So after that, I was able to get away, and it was a very weird time for me because I didn't know what to do or how to handle the situation, and it did get a little bit worse. Glasses were thrown, knives were thrown, and it was scary. And there's this corner of my apartment where a knife was thrown at me that I just look at. And every time I look at it, it would take away my power. And then I really just one day thought about it. And this amazing person that you may know, she told me that exposure creates change. So that is what I'm doing right now. And that is what I've been doing in the past. And now I can look at that corner of my apartment like it's just another corner. And slowly but surely, when individuals are in situations like this, it takes time to gain your power back. And the more you do, the more you expose yourself, the more you help others, you gain that power back so fast. And now that I really think about it, I would say that I'm actually more powerful now than I was before the whole situation happened. Which is sad to say because no one should ever have to go through that. But it really made me a stronger, more powerful person. And that's how I feel, you know, with all these celebrities coming out and exposing themselves, creating that change. As much as I hate it, and I hate it because of the fact that people try to take away other people's power for no reason, and this is something that we have to bring to attention, I love it because people are creating change through exposure within themselves and within others. And that's why I decided to really come out and tell my story because of the Women's March and just listening to the stories. And one in particular just made me want to create change in my life. So that individual exposed herself and created change in my life. And I hope to do that as well.
That's awesome, Jennifer. I really appreciate you telling your story. And as I said before, you know, not only does your presence dominate and demand attention, but the words you speak also are powerful in itself, and I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
One last question for you though, Jen. What would you tell yourself now to the old you when you felt you had lost your power?
I would tell myself that anyone can make you a victim, but only you can make yourself a survivor. So I was just leaning on the fact that, you know, someday someone's gonna come help me and get me out of this funk. But then I realized I'm never gonna gain my power back unless I go actively search for it and I become a survivor rather than some girl that got hit or some girl that got choked. So now I gained my power back and I'm Jennifer again.
That's my girl. That's my girl. Okay, I lied. One more question. For any women out there that may be in a tough situation or may be losing their power themselves, what advice would you give them?
I would tell them that no matter how weak you feel in the moment that you're living right now, you are a beautiful, strong person. And that's not just for women either. Men go through the same thing, and it's a common misconception that they don't. But anyone that's going through that or feels a struggle, even if it's not physical, even if it's more emotional, there is always someone that can help you, but you have to actively search for it. And I promise that it's worth it. And you never know who in your life is going to help you the most, which is a scary thought because you don't want to tell your story to anyone because it is embarrassing and shameful, but you have to be brave.
Thank you, Jennifer, for being brave. I love it. You're great. Thank you for blessing the show with an incredible story, with a great perspective and an awesome personality. Jigga Man.
Yes, sir.
Jay.
Yep.
Gonna hit the people with the facts, man.
Well, everybody, I hope you enjoyed the season one finale. I'm going to make this as brief as possible because I don't want to take away anything whatsoever from that awesome, powerful, heavy episode that it was. I have two brief things that I want to hit on. But before I hit on those, Jennifer, I just wanted to also thank you for coming on the show and just being so brave. It really was a great episode, and that was all because of you. But the first thing is the season two changes that will be occurring. Definitely be on the lookout for them. The artwork is going to change. Gong sound we're going to make different. Maybe even the intro song might change. And then the biggest change will be the release time every week. It's changing from Sunday at midnight to 5 p.m. every Friday. We're going to call it, you know, Five Friday, Friday Five, be there. That's going to be our new thing. And then the second thing I wanted to tell you all about is the gear that we're going to be having for sale all throughout, you know, next season and the season after. We're also going to be doing a promotion for that next week where we're going to be giving away some of that for free. And we're also going to be showcasing the gear on our Facebook page and our other social medias. So please be on the lookout for that. Besides that, I really don't have much. It was a great season. Thank you for all the love and support. We have grown with you all, and this wouldn't be possible at all without you all as well. So thank you so much. That's it from me. That's it from the Mookie Mel Show for season one. See you next week.
Peace.